It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here in our downtown WGN Radio studio. After a 6-2 Blackhawks win over the St. Louis Blues in Milwaukee, finally, I get to do a postgame show with a winner. Blackhawks finished strong. They obviously got off to a really hot start, scoring 3 goals in the first period, another 3 goals in the second period, and shut the door in the third period. If you'd like to chime in the postgame show, feel free to give us a call or text at 312-981-7200. We got a full postgame show tonight, taking you up to 10:30. And for more on tonight's game, let's bring in Troy Murray from Milwaukee for a game recap. Troy, finally, I get to do a post-game show where we're talking about a winner, and not just a winner, a big winner.
Yeah, this was a good performance, exactly what you wanted to go into the regular season building upon. You know, it wasn't the main roster, but boy, the effort was there. There was a ton of energy from the start of this game. You got a lucky bounce on the first goal by Ryan Donato, went off the shin pad and into the back of the net behind the Blues goaltender, and that really seemed to, like, kick the spirits of the team to keep it going and finally get rewarded for some of the efforts, and it just continued. This was a good hockey game. Anybody who came to the Pfizer Forum here really, you know, saw an entertaining game. Both teams competed hard, and for the Blackhawks, you really liked what you saw from so many different people in this game. Well done, and, you know, for the guys that are going back to Rockford after this game, they're going to have a really good feeling.
Counting 11 players on the Blackhawks picked up at least a point tonight. 5 of them had multi-point games. Feels like they got contributions from up and down the lineup, Troy.
Yeah, they did, and that's what we talked about. I think for Luke Richardson behind the bench, he just had to roll them out there because you're getting the effort from everybody. There was consistency in what they wanted to do in this game tonight. The physicality was there from the beginning. I liked the play of the big guys on the blue line. I thought up front everybody did what they needed to do. They capitalized and they made some opportunities offensively that we hadn't seen in the last couple games. And yeah, you're playing against the Minnesota Wild, and yeah, they had, you know, solid NHL rosters, but, you know, in this game, the rosters were about the same. Connor Bedard, first star of the game, he had 3 assists. You would expect him to be the most talented and the most dominant player in the game, and he probably was overall, but you saw so many good things from the role players and guys that were supposed to do what they needed to do in this game to get the job done.
I know a lot of these guys are going to be going back to Rockford. 9 players were recalled, but if nothing else, at least it gives some positive momentum, at least in the locker room, that, you know, it going 0-5 in the preseason, the Blackhawks hadn't really had any positivity after games. At least, if nothing else, they can carry this into the next few days as they get ready for the regular season.
Yeah, and then Seth Jones really kind of said it well. He says, I don't have any words for you guys. I'm at a loss for words here. And, you know, talked about the veteran players and just being able to flip that switch. And he goes, you don't flip switches. And he's right. But I do have to trust the guys inside that room that they'll be ready more so than they were against the Wild in Minnesota. And then last night at the United Center, there's a lot of veteran guys who have won cups inside that room right now. They know that they weren't very good in the preseason. They know that they have to be better. So I got to trust the guys inside that room that they'll make sure that, you know, that group of veteran players, the guys who are going to start the season, not a lot of them in the lineup tonight, will take some advantage and some positivity from this game. Guys like Bedard and Kurashev, who played strong games. Ryan Donato, again, I thought he was great in the game last night, and he was excellent in this game tonight. Joey Anderson just did what he needed to do. And, you know, for the younger guys, take a lot of positives heading back to Rockford and use that to your advantage.
For sure. Guys like Nazar and Korchinski and Colton Dock, I know that it was probably, at least for Frank and for Korchinski, maybe a little bit demoralizing to have to go to Rockford, but for them to have a performance like they did tonight, to carry that in, I think should benefit them as they prepare for their professional season.
Yeah, I believe so. And I you know, Kevin Korchinski is such a good young man that you know, he seems like he goes with the flow pretty easy. And I don't know Frank Nazar all that well because he was just up for a little bit at the end of the season. But I know that he had high expectations of himself coming into camp. Maybe didn't meet those, you know, for whatever reason, just kind of didn't fall in the right direction for him. Not that he was bad or anything like that, but you wanted to see him, you know, really kind of jump out at you to say that I'm ready to play. And I don't know if that was there, but, you know, this was a strong game for him. He's got great instincts. He went down and he scored a goal in the first game that he played for Rockford against Iowa. So he's going to have a lot of confidence. He's going to have a lot of success down there, and there's going to be a lot of support for those guys, knowing that there will be opportunities this year because of injuries. And if you're doing what you need to do and you're progressing in the right direction and you have a good attitude, you're going to get that opportunity. And that goes for Kaczynski. That goes for Colton Dock. You know, they need to go down there and they need to prove to the Blackhawks management, and they're always watching it. Mark Bernard, the GM in Rockford, everybody's watching those guys, and everybody's, after the game, you're evaluating all the players, and those reports always get back to Kyle Davidson. Luke Richardson has to focus on his team, but the guys in Rockford, I thought, really atoned for themselves really well in this game compared to maybe some of the previous games in the preseason, and that should help their confidence.
How about Lucas Reichel? He was obviously a healthy scratch last game. You know, disappointing for him to find himself on the outside looking in, but going into this game, he needed to have a strong performance. I mean, he wasn't necessarily one of the best players on the ice, but he was a factor. He had an assist tonight. What did you think about him overall?
You know, he did more of what you need to see from him several times in this game. He did carry the puck through the neutral zone. He does have great speed. He's got to do that with a lot of confidence, and I don't think you saw that in the preseason. It just seemed like he came in prepared, said all the right things, but it just didn't translate into success in the preseason. And now, as you mentioned, a healthy scratch in the game last night, which basically was maybe the precursor to what the lineup is going to look like against Utah. So, but I did think that he made some strides in this game, did pick up the assist, which will help him. He made a couple nice plays. So hopefully, when he gets that opportunity, I think he's going to be with the team at the beginning of the season. That's just the way I look at it. But he may be on the outside looking in as far as a roster spot on the ice. But he can't get disappointed because of that. And he's got to use anything that he can as far as a positive. And I think that he could use that in this game to his advantage moving into the regular season when he gets that opportunity.
Yeah, and I like what the Blackhawks did too at the beginning of training camp. They put him on a lot in a top six role immediately, and that is where he is best suited. But coming off it last season, I thought maybe, you know, I wondered whether where they were going to slot him in at the beginning of training camp, whether they wanted him to earn his way up, or if they were going to say, hey, this is, you're best suited in a top six role, we're going to put you here. And obviously, he, you know, it was a tough preseason for him, but, you know, hopefully he could, for his sake, wherever he starts on opening night on Tuesday, he can work his way back into being a consistent top six player.
Well, that's where he's going to be. He's not a third line, fourth line type of player. And if you're looking at building rosters and the way that teams have it, your top six are your most talented guys. And that's where the logical fit is for Lucas. And he's got to put himself in that position where he will be successful. You can't just find yourself on the ice in a top six role and not produce. It's just not going to happen at this level, and that's what he needs to do. He needs to start producing. They know that there's skill there. They know that there's talent. The ability is there. The skating ability is there. There's so many pieces of the puzzle that are a good fit. He's just got to find a way to make it all work and to find a way to have that confidence, the way that he can play offensively. And if he can do that, because listen, they're still trying to figure out what the mixture is of the top six. And, you know, you're rotating Kurashev from a wing on the first line to center at the second line. You know, if Lucas can come in there and establish himself with some confidence in the way that he can play the game, I mean, the Blackhawks would love for that to happen, but they just can't, you know, magically, you know, twirl a wand and have it happen. It's got to be within Lucas's you know, grasp, and he's got to take that opportunity when given to him and run with it.
Yeah, you raise a good point too. Connor Bedard and Tyler Bertuzzi, both of them have been on a line together pretty much all training camp. It's the third guy on the wing that's been kind of a revolving door. It's like, do you put Philip Kurashev back there because he had a lot of chemistry with Connor last year? Do you put a Taylor Hall who started with Connor last season before getting hurt? Or do you keep a Teravainen in that spot because they kind of think the game the same way, and also they're going to be playing together on the power play? I'm curious to see. It sounds like, by all indications, Teravainen is going to get that first crack on opening night. But I wonder how short the leash is going to be for Luke to want to put Kurashev back with Bedard if they kind of build on the preseason game that they had tonight.
Well, it might depend on how that second line center looks like. If it is Kurashev there, you know, is how well does he play with the second line? Does he make the second line more efficient? You know, is it a better productive second line with Kurashev at center ice? It's a hard fix. And even Ilya Mikheyev, I think that, you know, he's got a lot of skill, and at some point I would imagine that he's going to get a chance playing wing with Bedard as well. And you know, now it's easier to find those third and fourth line players than it is your guys on your top six. So, you know, for Kurashev, I think that he's earned the opportunity to be put in a bigger role, and they want him to take that next step and improve on you know, the season that he had last year. And if he can do that, that's really going to bode well, whether it's at wing, whether it's center. I don't know. Teravainen is a guy that I think can play, you know, either on the top line, the second line, wherever he's going to fit. We all know what type of player he is, and he's got experience. So for Kurashev, I think it's important for him, and it's tough for him to keep switching from back and forth. So they've got to figure out whether he's going to be at center, whether he's going to be wing, and then stick with that for a while to get him comfortable in that role.
It's almost like Kurashev is there in the second line center role by default because no one is taking control of it. Like, Nazar is going to be in Rockford.
100%. I mean, I think that maybe, Charlie, they looked at Nazar as a possibility in the second line center, but I think overall they kind of looked in and said, you know what, I don't know if we want to go in there with that much inexperience up front, and I include Connor Bedard in that area because he's only 1 year in the NHL. And I think that in some ways they were hoping that Athanasiu would be a fit in that area as well. That just hasn't seemed to pan out the way that maybe that would take place. And really, they're running out of options. And I look at their roster, you know, they're solid on the wings in a lot of areas there. And Jason Dickinson, along with Nick Foligno, I think is a great third line, a really good third line. Donato maybe is a fourth line center. Athanasiu might be put in that position. That seemed like where he was kind of slotted a little bit. But that second line center is something that they just don't have right now, and they're trying to figure it out. I know they're trying to figure it out and you know, see what they have within and work the best the way that they can. And is Kurashev the best option they have at center ice with, you know, some other guys that just didn't step up? I don't know. You know, it's a tough call, but they have to find some support behind Connor Bedard and that second line center offensively if they want to succeed. And the one thing that they've talked about is, where are they going to get goals from? Well, they need it from their top six. That's where they need it.
What do you think of Connor's feistiness? It feels like all preseason guys are trying to get under his skin, and he's pushing back.
He's pushing back, but you don't want him, you know, you don't want him to get involved in those. And I think that, you know, when you have guys like Nick Foligno and you bring in a Patrick Maroon, those are the guys that are going to settle things down. And I know Patty Maroon is one of these guys. I've watched him for a lot of years, and he's won three Stanley Cups, so he knows what he needs to do to help in his capacity that he does to make sure that, you know, there's no liberties taking there. I don't mind, you know, Connor sticking up for himself, but I think in a certain situation, there's a time and a place for him to get involved. But you know, maybe not in preseason, you know, with 2 minutes to go in the last preseason game, might not be the best time for him to get involved, because, you know, you don't want him getting hurt, you know, and it doesn't matter. You could twist your ankle in the pileup. You could, sure, like Nick Foligno did last year, sticking up for Connor in New Jersey, breaks his hand. You know, those things can happen. Then you don't want them to happen. You've got the star player, one of the star players in the NHL, so you don't want him, you know, doing that. But at the same time, you like to see the fact that he's willing to stick up for himself. And nobody said that he couldn't, but you know, you got to temper your expectations there. I like to see it, but I don't want to see it.
Good stuff, Troy. Finally, a winner that I get to talk about.
This was, talk about, you know, rehearsals for a job. I mean, you know, you might have been sent down to the minors if we went 0-3 with you.
Hey, you told me to grind it out last night. I gave you it on a silver platter.
You did. You did a good job because, I mean, you know, everybody's watching. You know, John and I are here. We evaluate you all the time, and you didn't get great reviews the first two games. So I'm glad you stepped up in your last chance.
The bar was set pretty low in my first appearance, so I had nowhere to go but up.
No, you're doing a great job.
All right, Troy, go get your suitcase packed. You got a road trip to get to.
That is a fact. Do some laundry and get ready.
All right, we'll chat with you on Tuesday in Utah for opening night.
Great job, Charlie.
All right, Troy. Let's take a break. We're waiting on some sound to follow in the Blackhawks locker room. And also, we're waiting from Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
There's no excuse for me to have any kind of a bad game. Now, Connor Bedard is locked up in a fight in front of the Blues crease. And one of the Blues players he's in turn with goes down to the ice. Reichel is in there wrestling with somebody. To the right of the net, you got Korchinski and Dvorsky having at it. We got a line brawl going up to end this game. And now Korchinski throws a punch at Dvorsky. Crevier was in the thick of that scrum as well. And Korchinski throws Dvorsky down to the ice.
Back on the Blackhawks postgame show, Charlie Romeliotis here. Honored to be sitting in this seat to bring you Blackhawks hockey. You heard that scrap, Connor Bedard and Zach Bolduc. They were going at it all night. And it's funny, too, because I've been to the Blackhawks prospect showcases, the Tom Curver's prospect showcase. It was in Minnesota last year. It was in St. Louis this year. 2 years prior, it was in Chicago. And it feels like any time the Blackhawks prospects play with the Blues prospects and the Wild prospects, it turns into like a brawl, like a full-on brawl. And so Bolduc is one of those guys, too, that has kind of made his presence felt in those tournaments. So it's no surprise that we had a match tonight or a game tonight between most of the prospects. And Connor Bedard, it feels like all preseason, he's really been pushing back on some of the physicality. We saw it the other night. Joel Eriksson-Ek tried getting under his skin. Connor Bedard turns around and he kind of gives him a little cross check. Like, he pushes back and he's got that feistiness in his game. And we even saw it a little bit last year where he, over time, mostly in the second half of the season, he started kind of flexing his muscles a little bit, and he wasn't like this shy, timid rookie in the NHL. Like, he was going to show that he wasn't going to take that punishment. Here's what I will say, and this is just, you know, constructive criticism for Connor. I remember watching Sidney Crosby in his early years where every single night it felt like the opponents would target Sid, and he would, I mean, Crosby was like an 100-point guy, like as a rookie, like right out of the gate. So he was known as the next one. He was his rookie year, 100-point guy. Like, everyone knew that this was the guy you had to stop. And for the first several years of Crosby's career, he took the punishment, but he also chopped back, and it kind of distracted him a little bit from his game. And it wasn't until, I want to say, like 2016, when the Penguins won their first Stanley Cup, and then I definitely saw it in 2017, their second Stanley Cup run, especially in the playoffs. Man, they tried to get under Crosby's skin, and it's like he wouldn't even look at the opponent. Like, wouldn't even give them the time of day. Almost like it was like a mosquito at a barbecue, and he was totally unfazed. And that was almost that probably got under the opponent's skin more than it did Crosby, where he's like, man, this is just totally not affecting him, and he's just in dial-in mode. And so I would like, I think over time, Connor will learn to know that, hey, sometimes getting into those sorts of things, the scrums, yeah, you risk injury, but also it can be a little bit distracting from what makes you great. And so I would like to see, I really appreciate Connor doing that, and I love that about his DNA, but I think over time, you kind of want somebody else fighting those battles for him. Some other positives that I took away from this game, I mean, there were quite a bit. Like I mentioned, five multi-point efforts by the Blackhawks, 11 guys got on the score sheet. Connor Bedard had 3 assists. Nazar had a goal and an assist. Kurashev, a goal and an assist. Donato, Allen, each with a goal and an assist. Isaac Phillips was a guy to me that all training camp, he's been really physical. We've seen it in the scrimmages. Like he was not afraid to lay hits on veterans. I think he laid pretty good hits on Craig Smith multiple times. And as a young player, you can probably go into training camp thinking, I want to be respectful of my peers and the veterans. But I think the Blackhawks coaching staff and organization told him at the end of last season during his exit interviews, saying like, hey, we want you to lean into being more physical. Similar to what the Blackhawks told Alex Vlasic 2 years ago about wanting to be a little bit more physical in front of the net. You saw that out of Vlasic last year. It feels like Phillips is taking a page out of that book, and he laid some pretty good hits in training camp and preseason. And then today, it felt like any time there was a scrum, Phillips was in the middle of it. And you always like to see that out of your defenseman, especially because you want to protect the house and you want your goaltender to kind of feel safe, you know, in that area. And you want to be hard to play against too, especially for some of the guys that come into the United Center. All right, we got more to get to on the Blackhawks post-game show, including our save of the game, next game preview, and also we're waiting to hear from some sound from Milwaukee. You're listening to the Blackhawks post-game show right here on 720 WGN.
In behind the net now, Isaac Phillips to the puck. Tried to bat it away from a couple of Blues and did, but he turned it over, and a backhand shot by Dvorsky in front of the net is gobbled up by Soderblom.
Tonight's Save of the Game is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. That was Arvid Soderblom making a save. He's looked pretty decent in his 2 preseason starts. Trying to look at this in real time to see how many saves he finished with. 26 of 28 for a save percentage of .929. The first game that he played, and I think he started against Detroit, and he stopped 29 of 31 shots. For him, he had a really tough season last year. I actually think the first month of the season for him last year was fine. He wasn't getting the offensive goal support. The highlight of that first month was definitely the game in Toronto. Yeah, I mean, he was terrific in that game, the opening road trip. And I think it was after probably mid-November where even the underlying numbers started to kind of turn against him, whereas the first month and a half, you could point to some quality starts. He just wasn't getting the run support. And then mid-November and on, you could see that he started to have some rough games. His confidence started to falter just a little bit. You know, credit to him for kind of powering through. I actually talked to him before, it was the first few days of training camp, and I said, you know, when you reflect back on last season, you know, what's the one area that you were like, man, I got away from this, and or, you know, I needed to do better in, and you just couldn't correct it mid-season. Maybe it just, you know, it's hard to kind of take all that feedback once and apply it. And he said he talked about tracking the puck with his eyes. Like there were quite a few times last season where he felt like I wasn't seeing the puck clearly through traffic, and it allowed for some of those juicy rebounds where maybe he was, you know, I think rebound control was definitely something that we've talked about a lot last year, where if you watched an Arvid Soderblom start, it was like, man, he struggled with his rebound control. And I think that was one of the reasons why, you know, it was trying to see the puck through traffic. So, so yeah, it was a you know, he's had a really good preseason. I think even in the scrimmages, he's been solid. So, you know, hopefully, I was looking at the schedule in October because Laurent Brossois is hurt with a meniscus. Brossois actually started skating again this past week, so that's a positive sign. But the Hawks are going to have a back to back on the first road trip of the season, and then they have another back to back in a couple weeks. So I wonder, Soderblom's definitely probably going to get one of those starts on the road trip, and then we'll see if Brossois is ready to return, you know, for the next back-to-back, which is towards the end of October. All right, we got another break here on the Blackhawks postgame show. Sound is coming in from Milwaukee. We'll get to it on the other side. You're listening to 720 WGN.
Loose puck to the near boards. Ethan Del Mastro will fire. That was blocked in front of the shin pads of Tucker. Now a shot from Ryan Donato. He scores! Ryan Donato fires from the right point, and this eludes the goaltender, Vadim Zhirinko. And the Hawks draw first blood in the contest. It's 1-0.
Back on the Blackhawks post-game show. Big win in Milwaukee. 6-2 victory over the St. Louis Blues. Connor Bedard and Ryan Donato each had multi-point games against the Blues. They just got done talking to the media. Let's hear what they had to say.
So what do you guys take away from this game?
I think we, you know, we're pretty frustrated with kind of how preseason's gone so far. And, you know, no matter what it is, losing isn't fun. And wanted to just end it off on a good note and try to do the right things as much as we could. And, you know, we could see the success when we did that.
What have you said to each other to kind of spur this effort tonight?
I think we just try to stay positive, obviously. Had a couple of tough games and, you know, pucks weren't going in. And, you know, I think, like, mine was a super lucky one, right? And you get a couple lucky ones and, you know, things start to turn around. You start to get a little more confidence. Guys are having a good time. And, you know, it's hard to, you know, always get up for preseason games. But sometimes when you have the younger guys, they're pretty excited. And I think a lot of the veterans tend to look forward to the season and get ready. But I think for this last game, we had a lot of guys that were hungry. And I think it paid off.
Ryan, what have you thought about your preseason? I know coming into it, we talked, and you said, you know, you're not exactly sure, but you just, you know, you go out there and you put your best foot forward. How, I guess, having some production and you know, probably playing some different roles, what have you thought of the whole camp?
I mean, we've had some tough games, like I said, but personally, I just show up and do the work, and hopefully it gets noticed if you're doing a good job. We have a lot of guys that have been working hard, sometimes not getting the best results, but, you know, it's hard not to just look at myself a little bit. You know, it's a long camp, but I don't know. I don't really judge myself. I want to just help the team win as best I can. And usually when I'm doing that, that's usually when I'm playing my best.
Connor, you and Kuchinski got into the mix a little bit, you know, that scrum at the end. Just what was your thought process with that?
Nothing really. I mean, it's hockey, you know, it's a, you know, physical sport, and you know, it's good to see, you know, for myself and for our whole team that obviously, you know, I was getting into it and then our whole team jumps in there. So it's just kind of, you know, I think the brotherhood you need and, you know, it's cool to see Corsh kind of chuck him wide and see him, but guys were telling me, so you got to watch it.
Yeah, he took a guy down, so.
Yeah, he was telling me. He's pretty proud of it, so it's good.
With the majority of tonight's roster not starting the season in the NHL, how do you take from tonight's game and translate that to starting the season in Utah on Tuesday?
Yeah, I think, like Donald said, I think we just had a lot of fun today. Like, you know, we had all the young guys, and guys are excited to play and excited for that. Obviously, not to say other guys aren't, but you know, I think that's the thing. We just went out there with, you know, positive mindset and really just enjoyed it. I think we were just, you know, having fun, you know, laughing in the room. It was light enough, I think, but you know, we went up there and did a job. But I think that's kind of what I'll take away from tonight, maybe.
You guys get a little excited that a lot of these guys that are going back to Rockford, but they could be back up either at the end of the season or next year.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of those guys in there, you know, you could see them tonight, right? They did some good things, and you know, it's a hard league, and a lot of these younger guys got a little bit of a taste of it, and you know, hopefully they can learn and hone in their own craft in the American League. And you know, a lot of guys go through that and they become better for it. I wish I did at that point. I wish I played more, because I think a lot of these guys can develop their game, and you know, when they get their chance, they're hungry, they're confident, and usually that's the type of guys that stay up for a while.
What did you guys think of the crowd being here and not
Milwaukee with so many Hawks fans.
Yeah, I felt like a home game. I mean, it was pretty electric in here. So, you know, I think we expected it to be loud and cheers for us for sure. But I think it exceeded my expectations for sure. So, it was a lot of fun.
Positive mindset and having fun. That's good. That's good. The Blackhawks needed that after a tough preseason where they went 0-5. Luke Richardson, Blackhawks head coach, he also shared his thoughts on the 6-2 win.
Showing this much more to your liking.
Yeah, I thought, right from this drop of the puck, our guys skated tonight, played with a good pace and played hard and just direct. I thought we'd direct in our play and our shots to the net, created some power play opportunities. And I thought that was a big difference in our game tonight.
With so many young guys, does that kind of change the equation a little bit in terms of what you're telling them to do and that sort of thing?
Well, I think in the meeting this morning, I mentioned to them, like, this is like, this is our final preseason game, so it's their final chance to show us their best, and I think they did that. I think whether it would be all the young guys that came back up or the guys that we had double up and played last night, everybody really showed their best tonight, and from goaltender all the way out, and all 20 guys. So we're proud of that. We would like to keep them off the scoreboard in the third and just kind of work on that element of playing properly and managing momentum with the lead. But I thought for the most part we came back and we did, and then got a little chippy at times, and I thought I liked the guys standing up for each other as a group of five out there.
Do you like seeing Bedard and Korchinski mixing up a little bit more?
Well, no, I think Connor needs to stay out of that if he could, but I like the thought process of it and his mentality that he's not going to take anything from anybody out there, and he's he's here to stay, and he wants to own his ground out there. But, at the same point, when those type of things, guys fall down and get rolled over on, and someone pops a shoulder or hurts a hand or twists an ankle, we can't afford that, especially with a guy like that. So, just teaching them to kind of manage those emotions and staying out of that, because, I think he's obviously more important on the ice than off the ice, and that's probably never a good trade-off for us.
How would you evaluate Reichel's camp?
At times, up and down. I thought tonight, obviously, the same as everybody else, skated well, took charge on a couple rushes. There was one rush, he had a real nice play and a shot on net that just missed in the second period, and then there was one not long after that. I think he wanted to try and change it up, and had his mind made up he was going to pass it, but I thought the plan was the option was to shoot it, and he tried to force something through, and it just didn't get through. There's too many bodies. So I'd like to see him. It's not selfish at all. I think it's actually a good team game for us to play direct and shoot pucks. And I think some of these guys got to take ownership of that and put that into their game. It's not always looking for a play, looking for a pass. It should be quick instinct. And we worked on that with some of the older guys in practice today. We kind of did speed drills on two-on-ones, and if the guy's taking the pass away, that means shot, and you don't wait, and then everything closes off, and then, I'm going to try the pass anyways because I've waited too long, and I lose my shot. I think it's instantly, you have to recognize, is it a shot, or is it the guy not playing it well with his stick, and recognizes if the guy's on a forehand or a backhand, and the lane's open, then you take it. And I think we got to get them comfortable with it's not being selfish. Like I said, it's being a team guy. You're making the right play, and I'd like to see him take that one more step. And I like some of his bursts tonight. I like the one rush. The second rush, I'd really like him to shoot that. And I think with his shot, out of two out of, if he gets two shots out of those two rushes, he has more chance to score or get a rebound assist or more ozone time instead of turning around and chasing back, which I did like. His determination on his back check today and hardness on stick battles. So tonight was his best showing. He might not be happy with, or we might not be totally convinced of his whole camp, but I think tonight was his best showing, and I think that's what we asked of him, so we got to be happy with that. And
thanks to Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times for that sound. Big Hawks win 6-2 against the St. Louis Blues. Tonight's next game preview is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Blackhawks' next game will actually count in the standings. Tuesday, October 8th, first ever regular season game for the Utah Hockey Club, who announced on Friday that Clayton Keller will be the first captain in Utah history. So should be a fun matchup. Utah was pretty active in the offseason, so fun matchup coming your way between Chicago and Utah on Tuesday. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circus Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast tonight, our production crew of Tony DeNardis and Jack Heinrich. They were led by our captain, the colonel, the engineer, Brett Jackson, and of course, John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from Milwaukee. I'm Charlie Meliotis, signing off after a 6-2 Blackhawks win. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you on opening night.